بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه أما بعد. We're reciting Surah Al-Anbiya now, and it is a surah that basically, as this title says, the Surah Al-Anbiya is the surah pertaining to the prophets. And in the next rak'ah, of course, there's at least 9 prophets that Allah mentions in this surah, and He mentions the brief stories of each of them. And the beauty of the Qur'an is that it summarizes in 1 or 2 ayat the gist of every story. So Dawood and Sulaiman summarized in 1 ayah each. Ayyub summarized in 2 ayat. Dhannun summarized as well in 2 ayat. And so the next rak'ah, we're going to be mentioning the story of Dhannun. Who is Dhannun? Dhannun is of course Yunus alayhi salam. And according to the strongest opinion, Dhannun means the companion of the whale. Dhannun means the companion of the whale. This is, Allah calls him the companion of the whale, because obviously we all know the story of Yunus, that as Allah says in this surah, we're going to recite it in the next rak'ah, وَذَنُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. Remember the story of the companion of the whale, when he went away angry. When did he go away angry? He was angry, astaghfirullah, not at Allah, at his people. He was angry at his people. إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. He got angry at his people. He got irritated at his people. He thought, khalas, they're never going to accept Islam. We don't know the details of how long he preached. Unlike Nuh, 950 years. Yunus got irritated after some years. We don't know how long. And he said, khalas, forget it. I'm not going to preach anymore. These people are obstinate and stubborn, and Allah is going to punish them. Now, the prophets of Allah are not allowed to leave da'wah until Allah tells them. That's why they're prophets. It's obligatory on them to preach. Dhannun basically gave up. And he said, these people are beyond hope and Allah will punish them. So I quit my job basically. So إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. He went away frustrated at his people. A lot of Muslims misunderstand he was frustrated at Allah. Astaghfirullah, this is kufr. He went away angry at his people. وَظَنَّ أَلَّا نَقَدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. And he thought that we would not punish him. This is the translation of the verse. He thought that we would not call him for hisab or for qadr, that why did you do this? He thought that he had an excuse, even though he knew better and he shouldn't have done this, right? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punished him for something like he punished our father, Adam. This shows us that all the prophets are humans and they can do things that are not correct. And Allah gets rid of that sin in this world so that in the hereafter they are scot-free. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called him to task, even though he thought Allah would not call him to task. And what happened, you all know the story, that he went away from the town thinking that, khalas, that's it, end of story, I'm not going to preach to them. And the thunderstorm came and the boat was about to sink. And they did a lottery on the ship and they said, this is the bad luck coming from him, let's throw him off board. And they threw him off of the ship, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused a massive whale, perhaps in our times this blue whale that we see, Allah knows, but it was one of these massive creatures that swallowed Yunus alayhi salam, and then descended deep into the ocean. And he is in the depths of this slimy creature, imagine. And they're just a pocket of air in that stomach, right? I want you to imagine Yunus alayhi salam, how he must have been feeling now. He knows he's disobeyed Allah. He knows this is because of what he has done. And now where is he? في الظلمات. He is in the utter darkness. He's in the darkness of the whale. In the darkness of the depths of the ocean. Because where the whale descends, there is no light at all. And he's in the darkness of the night. On top of the shore, it's night. So he is in triple darkness. What dua comes from him? And this is the purpose of our khatira tonight, and to memorize this dua and to talk about the blessings of this phrase. Imagine his pitiful situation. Imagine his desperation. Imagine how he's feeling. What comes from his heart? فَنَادَى فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ أَلَّا إِلَّهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. This is what he calls out. سُبْحَانَكَ. I was the one who made a mistake. So the phrase that saves him from the belly of the whale is a phrase that we take for granted. We consider it the most common dhikr, la ilaha illallah. We consider it the most trivial of all adhkar. But the fact of the matter is that this is the basis and the mother and the root of all other adhkar. Remember we said that all adhkar center around 4. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. Wa la ilaha illallah wallahu akbar. We've talked about subhanallah. We've talked about alhamdulillah when we did tafsir of Fatiha. We talked about Allahu Akbar a little bit when we talked about how we pray. What is left now is la ilaha illallah. And it is really the central of all adhkar. La ilaha illallah Its blessings go beyond even many talks. It is because of these four words, La ilaha illallah, that Allah created us. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ I've only created man and jinn in order that they perfect my worship. La ilaha illallah. It is because of La ilaha illallah that Allah has sent all of the prophets. Our Shaykh just recited in the last rak'ah that وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ We have not sent before you any rasul إِلَّا نُوحِ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَعْبُدُونَ That we have inspired him with لا إله إلا أنا لا إله إلا الله This is the basic message of all the prophets. And if you look at the Quran, Allah says that Shu'aib goes to his people and says أُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ لِلَهٍ غَيْرُ And Yunus goes to his people with the same message. And Sulaiman and Dawood and every single prophet. If you look in the Quran, Allah says they have this phrase لا إله إلا الله It is the phrase that because of which Allah sends all the prophets. It is the phrase because of which Allah reveals the books. Every book has been revealed. The primary message of it is La ilaha illallah. Surah An-Nahl verse 3, Allah says, يُنَزِّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةَ بِالرُّوحِ مِنْ أَمْرِهِ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ لِيُنْذِرُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاتَّقُونَ That Allah sends the angel Jibreel down to his chosen messengers, i.e. the prophets, in order that Jibreel inspires them with La ilaha illa ana. So the books, the inspiration, the gist of it is La ilaha illallah. This phrase is the heaviest phrase you can ever utter in the scales. In a hadith in Mustadrak al-Hakim, Musa alayhi salam, our Prophet says, Musa alayhi salam asks Allah, O Allah, teach me a dhikr that I can remember you by. He wants a private, exclusive dhikr. So Allah says, O Musa, say La ilaha illallah. Musa says, Ya Rab, kullu ibadik yakulun hadha. Oh my Lord, your whole creation is saying this. I want something unique. I want something extra special. So Musa says, this is too common. And this is the attitude many of us have as well. This is the most common dhikr. And Allah says, Ya Musa, O Musa, if the entire heavens and what is in them, and the entire sab'a aradin, the seven earths and what is in them, is placed on one side of the scale, and La ilaha illallah is placed on the other side, La ilaha illallah will be heavier than all of that. Meaning, there's nothing greater than La ilaha illallah. There's nothing greater than this phrase. And this is proven in so many ahadith. Hadith in Tirmidhi, our Prophet ﷺ said, أَفْضَلُ مَا قُلْتُ أَنَا وَالنَّبِيُّونَ مِنْ قَبْلِي The best phrase I have ever said. I and all the prophets before me. SubhanAllah, all the prophets are being put and we are being told the best phrase human tongues have ever uttered is, memorize this, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ This is the phrase. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ لَهُ الْمُلْكُ وَلَهُ الْحَمْدُ وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ This is the best phrase ever uttered by me and by all the prophets before me. La ilaha illallah is so heavy that it can forgive all of a person's sins. And this is mentioned in a hadith in Ibn Majah, which is called the hadith of the card, hadith of Bitaqa, in which it is mentioned that a man will come on the Day of Judgment and he will be a sinner who basically, I mean the tafsir of it, he repented before his death. He repented before his death. And on the Day of Judgment, the angels will bring forth his scrolls of evil and good. And his evil sins will be 99 scrolls. 99 scrolls, each one of which is between the heavens and the earth, or between the east and the west. When the scrolls are pulled out, you cannot even see where it ends and where it begins. And he goes on, 1, 2, 3, 4, until 99. Allah asks him, are these your sins? He says, they are, O Allah. Allah says, do you have any complaint with the angels? Did they make a mistake? And he looks at them and he sees these are his sins. He says, no, they did a good job. They did their job, O Allah. This is mine. Allah says, do you have any excuse? And he thinks, and he cannot think of any excuse. And he says, no, I don't have an excuse. فَظَنَّ أَنَّهُ هَالِكَ He thinks, خَلَاص, he's gone. And then Allah says, do you have any good deeds to show? And the man thinks and thinks and thinks, and he didn't do a good deed. The scholars who interpret the hadith, they say he repented right before his death. And so, that was his tawbah. But he couldn't think of a good deed he did. So he doesn't think of a good deed. So Allah says, no, the angels have recorded one good deed that you did. So he says, what, O Allah? He doesn't even remember. So the angels bring forth a bitaqa, a card. And on that card, La ilaha illallah. Basically, he converted before his death. and he became a Muslim, and then the angel of death came and took his soul. So he has La ilaha illallah. So the person says, Ya Allah, what is the benefit of this card against the 99 scrolls? What's the point? I mean, these scrolls is long as the eye can see, and now this card comes. What's the fa'idah? So Allah says, today no injustice will be shown. وَمَن يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Even an atom's weight of good will be shown, and this is your good that you've done. So the 99 will be placed on the left hand of the scale. When La ilaha illallah is placed on the right, it will be heavier than an entire lifetime of sins. And this shows us how powerful this one phrase is. But what does this phrase mean? Very quickly, La ilaha illallah. Four words. The four words are all composed of the same three letters, Alif, Lam, and Hamza. Hamza, Lam, and Ha, which is basically Ilah. These are the three letters of the Kalima. There are no more letters in the Kalima. Alif, which is Hamza, and Lam, and Ha. La ilaha illallah. These four words, they translate as, there is no Ilah other than Allah. So the central term is the term Ilah. There is no Ilah other than Allah. The meaning of Ilah, Ibn Abbas says, Ilah is an object that you venerate. Ilah is a being that you worship. Ilah is something that you show servitude, ubudiyyah to. So ilah in Arabic means ma'bud, that which you worship. So if we were to translate the kalima literally, la ilaha illallah, if we were to translate it to English literally, it becomes, there is nothing that is worshipped except for Allah. There's nothing that is worship except for Allah. But there's a problem with this translation, and that is that we didn't understand Arabic when we translated. Because there are plenty of things that are worshipped besides Allah. Jesus Christ is worshipped besides Allah. Idols are worshipped besides Allah. Sun, moon, stars are worshipped besides Allah. So there's something wrong with the translation, and it's wrong because we didn't understand Arabic. There's a missing, we call it in Arabic, khabar. Because the la of this kalima is a type of la, it is called la an-nafiyah lil-jins. It's a type of la, it needs two things, ism and khabar. I don't want to get too complicated, but to summarize, there's a missing actor. That actor is not mentioned in the Arabic. Why is it not mentioned? Because it's understood by context. It's understood by context. So when we translate the kalima, those of us who don't know Arabic, we need to understand there's a missing word which is understood by the Arabs. And that word is bihaqqin, or worthy of. La ma'buda bihaqqin illallah, which translates into English as, there is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. This is the translation of the kalima. There is no deity worthy. This worthy is not in the Arabic. Look at it, right? La ilaha illallah. There's no worthy. It's understood by the grammar of the Arabic language here. There's no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. And the kalima is consisting of two phrases. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah is negation. And illallah is affirmation. La ilaha, you negate. You wipe clean the paper, the slate, the board. La ilaha. I'm not gonna worship anything. What is worship? Servitude. Ubudiyya. You take something and you consider this to be your God. What is a God? Something that you'll sacrifice everything for. So a God can be a false idol. It can be the sun and the moon. It can also be money. Because if you're gonna sacrifice your life for your money has become a god. It can also be your desires. If you're gonna live, in English we call it hedonistic life, i.e. you only care about your desires, then you have taken your desires as your god. أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. He has taken his hawa as his ilah. How? Because whatever he wants, he's gonna do. He doesn't care what anybody says or thinks. So therefore, his God has become himself. His ilah has become his hawa. So a God isn't just an idol. A God is anything that you're gonna sacrifice everything for. A God is something you lower yourself to. You will sacrifice your family, your wealth, everything to get this ultimate goal. And therefore, Allah is saying, La ilaha, I'm not gonna venerate anything. You wipe it clean. Neither a false God, nor a Jesus Christ, nor a prophet, nor the sun, nor the moon, nor any even entities such as money, such as my ego, such as my pride, such as my kingdom. Fir'aun took his kingdom as his God, right? Fir'aun took his power as his God. That was his God. And he claimed, I am your Rabb. La ilaha means you wipe that away. I'm not gonna do this to anything or anybody. And then you affirm, illallah. except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only being whom I'm going to venerate, whom I'm going to worship, whom I'm going to take as my ultimate judge, whom I'm going to sacrifice everything for, that being is Allah. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ لَا شَرِيكَ لَا. Say, my prayer and my sacrifice, my life and my death, all of it will only be for Allah. This is the meaning of La ilaha illallah. And therefore, brothers and sisters, the more you perfect La ilaha illallah, the more you will conquer your desires. The more anything that causes you to be distracted from Allah will be gotten rid of. Because there is only one being that you completely submerse yourself to, and you completely give your life and heart and body and soul to, and that is Allah. Anytime something calls you away from that, this means your iman or your tawheed has been slightly affected. And if you begin to worship something besides Allah, then you have fallen into shirk. So the reason why La ilaha illallah is the most important of all dhikr is because Allah created us for this dhikr. It's because it is the basic message of all the prophets. It is because this is why the books have been revealed. Based on La ilaha illallah, people are divided into Muslim and non-Muslim. Whoever says it and believes it is a Muslim, whoever rejects it is not a Muslim. And our Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says La ilaha illallah sincerely from the heart, صادقاً من قلبه, that person will enter Jannah. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us amongst the people of Tawheed, that He blesses us to say this dhikr regularly, frequently, sincerely, that He causes us to be like when Yunus alayhi salam said this dhikr, he was freed and he was saved. We also pray to Allah that whenever we are afflicted with any calamity and we say this phrase, La ilaha illa anta subhanak, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, that we too are freed. And we pray, like our Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ كَانَ آخِرَ كَلَامِهِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْ آخِرَ كَلَامِنَا فِي هَذِي الدُّنْيَا شَهَادَةَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. Our Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says La ilaha illallah as his last breath, as his last phrase, this person shall enter Jannah. May Allah make us amongst them. وَجَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.